mechanics class, and we are tasked providing Al-Ati, Al-Razzaq, Al-Razaq, providing us our needs, which is called Al-Rizq general, which we spoke about. It risk is not wealth, risk, so many things. Risk is happiness, risk is wealth, risk is property, risk children, risk is power, risk is location, is life, length of life, live longer, live shorter, and so many things that are a risk. The wife is a risk, the children are a risk. All these are provisions that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides to us. And the first topic was our needs. The second topic was Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wisely distributed himself. And the third subject was test of which is much easier than the test in poor. I'm sorry, the test of being poor is much easier than the test of rich. And then today, how to increase our risk. One of the ways to increase the risk is what I call barakah, the concept of barakah. What is barakah? Barakah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is blesses. But barakah means you get extra benefits, get additional benefits, you get more benefits for the same thing. So for the same worth, you get more benefits. For the same amount of money, you get more benefits. For the same amount of time, you get more benefits. For the same amount of wealth, you get more benefits from that wealth. Okay, that's barakah. I'll give you an example. $1,000 of less money, it means it will be spent in food, transportation, payments, and it's not going to be wasted. But $1,000 unblessed money would be wasted. It would be used for food, for transportation, but also it would be wasted. Like you buy things for more, for extra price, to pay more for merchandise, you get a traffic ticket, get a ticket and you have to pay for it. You get to the hospital and then you have to pay for medication, visits, hospital visits, copay, co-insurance. So basically, this is in terms of money. In terms of time, less the time is that for a short amount of time, you achieve a lot. For example, you wake up in the morning, car is running. You go to the bathroom, take a shower, you turn on the water is running, the hot water is running, you take a shower, you leave to work, start your car runs fine, get out on the street, no traffic jams, you're hitting green light, you go to the bank, go in, you're first on the line, you do your stuff and quickly, no traffic jams, nothing, for the same amount. But if you have unblessed time, you wake up in the morning, you start, and you want to take a shower, the hot water is not working. Then you decide you're not going to take a shower. You're just going to get dressed and leave. Here we go. Go to car, the battery, forgot the dorm light overnight. Battery's dead. Call AAA. By the time it comes with the battery, with AAA, and the thing starts you up, then you go to the bank. You have a 45 minutes waiting line. You go in the traffic. There's a traffic jam, and you hit every red traffic light, and things for the same amount of time you achieve very little for the same amount of time. So the blessings in the hand of Allah. Allah has the blessings in His hand. He can bless your money or He can unbless your money. He can bless your time or unbless your time. Okay? So, by praying 5 minutes, Allah will bless your time by more than these 5 minutes. You achieve more. Achieve more. If you, let's say, an hour, you take 5 minutes to pray, they are 55 minutes. But because they are blessed, you're going to achieve more than the 1 hour. If you ignore the prayer, then you have 1 hour, yes. But you achieve an hour of blessing. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is very generous. Can never, ever, ever give something for Allah. That Allah is going to give back more blessings. That outpays them, outpays the time that you spent or the money that you spent. Barakah and health also, that Allah keeps away diseases from you, keeps away flu from you, keeps away minor diseases, the way coronavirus from the way. Cancer and bad diseases. This is also barakah and the health that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if Allah would bless your health, if Allah would not bless your health, you can imagine what kind of diseases you can daily basis, headache, migraine, lack of focus, attention deficit disorder, I mean, you name it. It's Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his hand. All these things are in his hand. It's in his hand, and he can give it, and he can bless you with it, or he can give it, or he can deprive it and cut it from you. Okay. So, how to increase your risk? By we're going to find ways to increase our risk. One of them, barakah, by getting increased barakah. Is barakah will increase the wealth, even though the count is still $1,000. The count. But the benefit that comes out is $1,000 less. And that's an X. This is a risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has provided. Now, you might say, okay, we said that the risk was predetermined. Yes, it's predetermined. But you are allowed to change it. How? The risk, the source is predetermined. But there are other sources of risk. If you try them, you get more risk. So let's say, if we say one door of your risk, one source of risk is your income from your job. If you work hard, okay, you think that if you work harder in your job, you get more money. And you keep working harder, you get more money. Allah is telling you, be reasonable in seeking risk from one source. Move to a different source so that you can get more risk by going to a different source. For example, being kind to your parents. That gives you a lot of risk. This gives you a lot of risk. So and instead of focusing on working, putting all your effort in one source, which job or business, if you take some effort and put it in being kind to your parents, you're going to get more money. Or we're going to get more risk. Okay. So try alternatives. Don't keep focusing on one form of business and you think one source of risk and you think that this is the one risk. No, actually, try other doors of risk to more than if you kill yourself working 80 hours a week. You can get more risk by working 80 hours and doing the things that other sources of risk that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made available for us. Now, you might think, what do you mean by increase? Isn't risk predetermined? Yes. Allah has two books. One is called the initial book, and one is called the final book. The initial book is what Allah released first, the angels. Because the angels are the ones who make happen. What's written on the book will happen. They are the one who will make things happen. So the book says rain. They are the one who says wind. Then they are the one who's. The book says love. they are the ones. So they have the books, initiate books, things to do for them. Allah will endorse some of these items in the book, and Allah will override some. But Allah might endorse some of the initial books or override, change things from the initial books. But the final books, He has the final books already, and He knows the end, what would be, what would the final thing be. But He puts it, but He makes an initial design. You can say design and built, or as built. So you have a design for the drawings for the building, and then you have the actual building, what actually happened, what actually took place. And they are different. What you design into initially is different from what you end up with. It's not always the same. Okay. So why, you might say, why Allah does make initial book and then final book and allow this to happen? But the final book, He has it already. I'll give you an example. So the wisdom for Allah doing this. When Allah prescribed prayers, He put in the initial book that prayers are going to be 50 prayers per day. Every day we pray 50 times. The final book showing 5 times, because this is what happened at the end. But initially He put 500 times. And when He called Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam to heavens, He assigned him 50 prayers. Now, all other acts of worship and obligations, Allah sent Angel Jibreel to tell the Prophet Muhammad about. But about the prayer, because it's so important, Allah called the Prophet Muhammad to the office, sort of. The manager calls you to the office if it's a very important task. Doesn't just send it by email or response, you to come into so that he can talk and put in a past. So the Allah called Prophet Muhammad during the Mi'raj time, and He assigned him 500 prayers while he was going back down to the heavens. He met Prophet eyes, one of those heavens, fourth heaven, fifth heaven, Allah knows. I don't remember exactly which heaven was it, but he met him on his way down to earth. The Prophet Musa said, how many prayers did Allah assign to you? He said, 50. It's 50. No way. I have dealt with the children of Israel, and I know the weakness. I experienced their weakness. There is no way you are going to be able to pray. Go back and ask Allah for a reduction. So Allah, He went back. Allah made them, let's say, I don't know the exact numbering, but let's say Allah made them 30. And then when He went back, when He was going down to earth, met the Prophet Musa again, asked him, 30, too much. And able to do it, go ask Allah for reduction. So he went back, he asked Allah to make less. Allah made them 10. The Prophet again, Prophet same thing. I went back, I asked him for reduction. On the 5, then Allah said 5, and the one who prays 5. And then when he was going back to earth, Prophet Musa said, 5 is still too much. Can you? You should ask. Go ask Allah for less. So he said, no, I shy away from asking Allah for less. He already brought them down to 5, and it's the 5. They can't be better. So the whole concept here, the initial book had 500, the final book had 50. The reason Allah made it happen this way is so that we recognize the kindness of Allah. If He just said 5 from the beginning, we would not be able to recognize His kindness. But he made it that way to show us that he's kind. So that when we recognize his kindness, we know him, we get closer to him, we love him, and we get closer to Jannah. And we get to Jannah. Okay. And when Allah prescribes in the initial book, your wealth, let's say $100,000. And then Allah instructs the angels when it's time to give you the wealth, Allah says to the angels, take the $100,000 and $200,000. So the initial book has $100,000 and the final book has $200,000. Why Allah is increasing the risk? So Allah takes them $200,000 find to all because he did charity because this. So now we will recognize Allah's kindness, thanking, rewarding. Allah, when Allah creates us, he creates two homes for us, one in hell and one in heaven. And the ones who go to hell, Allah shows them their homes in heaven. And they say, look at this home, that would have been your home if you stayed in Allah. So he will, sorrow and sadness and regret will increase. On the other hand, the person who goes to Jannah, Allah says, look at this house there. That would have been your house if you didn't obey Allah. If you have disobeyed Allah, that would have been your house in hell. So the believer becomes happy, happier and happier and more pleased. Okay. So why Allah is doing that? Allah wants to show you the kindness and the result of your good. You did this good deed. I did not. Allah refuses to be less generous than his servant. You do a good deed, Allah will reward you much more than the good deed itself. So Allah will show you it was this way, but because you did this good deed, it became that way. So that you can have the comparison and you can see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala rewards people. So that's why Allah speaks about this initial book.
Allah wipes off what he wills and affirms what he wills, and with him is the mother book. Allah effaceth what he will, and establisheth what he will, and with him is source of ordinance.
And that's the meaning why dua and al-qadr. You can change the initial book by doing dua. The book of qadr. The final book is called the book of al-qadr. So the initial qada is the final. That's what is going to happen, and there are no changes. But the qadar is the design, the initial book. You can change it by dua. And this is why these the dua and the qadar are fighting each other between heavens and earth. It means that you are Allah is saying you live only 10 years. Sorry, Allah says, I only live 5. So the dua is pushing away the 60 years and trying to make them 80 years. You see, this is like a metaphor. Like they struggle. They push each other. See which one prevails. You're asking for 800 years. I'm sorry, you're asking for 80 years, but Allah is giving you 60. So what's this going to be final? So if your dua is strong, because it's backed up with good deeds, then it's going to push it to 80. But if it's not, then it's going to push it back to 70, 60, or in between. They struggle with each other, the qadr and the dua. So it depends how strong your case is. Your dua may prevail. So the qadr says, the initial book says, let's say 50 years, the dua, because of your dua, the fifth, the dua pushes, you're asking for 100. So your dua is strong, so it pushes the qadr to 100. Why dua is strong? Because it's backed up with so many righteous deeds and good deeds and charities and things like that. But your dua prevail over the qadr. And at the very end, you will get what's written in the final. People always worship the people are always thinking of the ones that provide to them as divine. So they worship trees and worship the sun because the trees provide them with food. The sun provides them with heat and warmth and light. So they worship and they continue worshiping to seek more and to seek continuity of food and of light. So that concept is built in. Which is you want more, continue to worship, and you improve your worship, you increase your worship. There was a widow that had 5 children when her husband died. They went to calm her down and say, "Oh yes, it's going to be very difficult. You guys might not have enough for you." He said, "You guys are mistaken. The one who died is the consumer. The supplier, which is Allah, is still alive." And that tells you that how does she understand that it's Allah is the supplier, not her husband, not the employment of her husband, not the business of her husband. Allah is the supplier. We will never die without finishing our pre-assigned provisions first. We have to finish them before we die. There was a story about a guy who fell down in a well, but he didn't die and they were able to save him. They pulled him out, sat down next to the well, and they brought him a cup of water, milk. Drank this cup of milk, then he fell down to the well, but when he fell down again to the well, the second time he died. That's why, because this glass of milk was assigned to him and he didn't finish it. Once he finished it, then he ran out of risk. He ran out of provision and it's time to end his. This is when Allah ends. How to share, increase the shares of risk? Number one is by increased the barakah. And there are other ways also that we can learn in this video.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Quran Weekly, this is your brother Umar Sulaiman. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he tells us a very interesting story. And this story is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Sahih Muslim, that one day there was a man walking out in the wilderness. And as he's walking out in the wilderness, he looks up and he notices that there's a cloud all by itself. And then what makes this even more interesting, he hears a voice coming from that cloud, and the voice is saying, "Isqi hadiqata fulan." Go ahead and nourish the garden of so-and-so, irrigate the garden of so-and-so. So he says, I followed this cloud and I saw that it stopped at a certain area, then all of a sudden it started to pour down rain. And he said, what's interesting about this is that the water came down on sort of a flat surface, but at the same time, it bounced off of that flat surface and it came into the stream, it formed the stream. And as he followed that stream down, he saw a man with his hatchet channeling the water into the different parts of his garden to make sure that each part of his garden got what it was supposed to get in regards to its portion. So he said, I went to the man and I asked the man, what's your name? And he said, my name is so-and-so. So he said, Subhanallah. He said, why are you asking me? He said, because that's the same name that I heard from the cloud. And he told that man the story, and he asked that man, he said, what do you do with your money? What do you do with this water? What do you do with your garden? And the man said, أَنظُرُ إِلَى مَا يَخْرُجُ مِنْهَا. He said, I look to see what comes out of it. He says, أَتَصَدَّقُ بِثُرُثِي. And he said, I give in charity a third of it. He said, then أَكُلُ أَنَا وَعِيَالِي مِنْ ثُرُثَ. He said, me and my family, we eat from a third of it. He said, then I take the last third, and he said, I put it back into the garden. Meaning what? I reinvest one third of it. And subhanAllah, we find from this, I mean, we can take so many lessons from this. Number one, that there is no sustenance that will come to you without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not a dollar in your bank account or in your piggy bank, even when you're younger. You know, not a single drop of rain, not a single leaf will fall from a tree. Nothing will come to you except by the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Your risk, your sustenance is written down, and it will come to you in ways that you don't even know, and it will come to you from avenues that you possibly don't even recognize. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue to give risk to a person, will continue to give sustenance to a person who is doing good. Another thing that we see is that this person, you know, didn't really have much. It wasn't that this man had this huge garden. He wasn't a multimillionaire, because traditionally when we talk about charity, you might be thinking to yourself, you know, I only make a few hundred dollars, you know, and I'm still going to school. I'm not doing much. You might be thinking to yourself, well, how does this really apply to me? Because we think that charity only applies to multimillionaires and people that are, you know, it's just like everyone looks at the doctor and the fundraiser and sees how much the doctor is going to give, right? And so we have to have these gory images and this sensationalism, or these really fancy masajid, you know, beautiful videos with nasheeds in the background, and sometimes, you know, all kinds of things in the background and golden minarets, so that a person could be motivated to give. So it kind of becomes random charity from rich people, and you need to get it out from, you know, these rich people. But this man, obviously we can take from this hadith, he's a simple man, but at the same time, with his giving, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continues to give to him as he goes forward in life, and his investment continues to grow. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses him, as he says in the hadith Qudsi, Ya ibn Adam, O son of Adam, give and I will give to you. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught, Man nam yashkur bil qaleel, whoever is not grateful with small things will not be grateful with major things. So you know what, if you're only making $20,000 a year and you're not grateful with that, you're not going to be grateful when you make $250,000 a year, when you make $250,000 a year. That's not the point here of generosity. The point is that anytime something good happens to you, you give something for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and at the same time, you're disciplined with your money, you invest it, right? This hadith is teaching us that it's sunnah to invest. It's sunnah to build for your future in this world as well, and to not be reckless with your money. This man is incredibly disciplined. So being disciplined with our finances, and the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Abu Dawud that no one should receive a gift except that he gives a portion of that gift for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So whether it's a gift, whether it's an increase in your salary, whether you just got admitted into a really good program in school or, you know, in college, make sure that you have a consistent charity that's coming out of your income, no matter how small it is, every single day of your life, because charity is due upon you every day. And at the same time, when anything good happens to you or any increase comes in your life, make sure you have a set portion to give for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that will keep you removed from greed even as you move forward and as you grow into your careers and as you become more successful within the ta'ala. And we ask Allah to grant us success in this world and the next, and to make us people of generous hearts. Allahumma ameen. Jazakumullahu khairan. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
We can see one way to get from the same land, okay, because he donated 1/3 of the crop, getting from the land what man was given. Allah refuses refuses that his the generosity of his slave, his servant, be more than his generosity. Allah would refuse. If you're generous with Allah, giving to Allah $1, Allah will pay it back. Allah refuses not to pay you back, because he is the most, the one that is generously giving back the ones who There is also 10 ways to increase the risk, other ways to increase the risk, and 10 ways to increase the risk. Not comfortable people asking him for things and asking for more and more. And Allah loves it when you ask him. I want to ask him. Actions that show gratitude and thanking, praising. Honesty is very important. Marriage increases the risk, because now you get the risk of a family. The risk of a family is much higher than the risk of both individuals separately. So Allah, out of the marriage, Allah gives you more risk. Tawbah, repentance, taqwa, fearing God, keeping ties of kinship, sadaqah, charity, ibadah, worship, doing hajj and umrah, travel to Mecca for hajj and umrah, tawakkul, reliance on Allah, marriage, dua, gratitude and praising Allah, honesty and fairness in trading and business and transactions and others, having children. The more children, the more the risk you have. So people say, okay, my income is $30, okay, and I have three kids, so it's going to be $10 per kid. But if I have one kid, it's going to be $30 per kid. The kid will get all $30, but if I have each one of them is going to get 10 only. This calculation is not correct. There are flaws in this calculation. Why? Because who said that when you get 33 kids, Allah's going to give you 30? No. Allah will write an income for each child by him or herself. So let's say Allah is going to say, okay, $10 for each kid. If you get two kids, you get 20. If you get three kids, you get 30. If you get four kids, you get 40. You get five kids, you get 50. You don't know that your wealth is going to be, or your provision is going to be the same if you have increasing. And if you have less children, you'll have less sustenance. Allah will always provide you, but Allah will always cover every child that you spend on. Every child that you're spending money on, Allah covers this cost. So if Allah wants you to be at specific status or a specific level of income, Allah will design your income to remain at this level regardless of how many children you have. So if Allah wants you to be from the top, if the top 20%, okay, by giving you $800. If you have one child, if you have two children, Allah will give you $1,600. Three children, Allah will give you $2,400. And it doesn't have to be in money and monetary amounts. It could be blessing. Allah will pay you back in blessings towards the new child. So don't, just like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, do not. Allah is the one who provides for them and for you. Allah, you're not the provider for them. No, Allah is the provider for both you and them. So don't worry about the risk. I am providing for you and providing for them. There are also six. Six spiritual causes for increasing risk. And there's also one site here is about risk in Islam. What is risk? And down there, explains first what is risk in Islam, the concept of risk. Why it's risk? The risk is already written. And different types of risk. And then how to increase the risk. The first way is by doing salah. The second way is by doing. The third way is with istighfar. Istighfar is to ask Allah to forgive you by saying astaghfirullah, 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 and regret what you did. So these are four spiritual values that increase your risk. Now, the pre assigned, there are two ways to get your pre assigned risk. If it's pre assigned, then two ways to get it, either the halal way or the haram way. If you get it the halal way, if you are determined that you're not going to accept it the haram way, then Allah will give it to you the halal way. But if you're willing to accept it the haram way, then Allah will give it to you the haram way. So it's up to you to decide how do you want to get it. Same thing about your happiness. Your amount of happiness, your risk of happiness is predetermined. If you use drugs or alcohol to bring you more happiness, you're not actually increasing your shares of happiness. No, the shares of happiness are the same, but you're borrowing them from the future. Because in the future, you would be miserable because of these substances. So basically, you borrowed your future happiness, future shares of happiness, and you brought them in the present time by using the substance, alcohol, by using water. Okay? And if you overdose yourself, you die, because overdosing yourself means that you borrowed everything you have in the future. Once your shares of happiness end, you die. That's why overdosing, people die from overdosing. Okay? So it backfires on you when you do drugs and alcohol. It does not bring you more happiness. It backfires on you. It makes you miserable. And rizq, you might think, why doesn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just hand us our provisions directly? And let me give you an example of a child who is sent to a faraway college, and his father sends him a check every month to spend. And let's say the kid goes to the college on December. August starts college, and then he gets a check from his father. He cashes the check, he pays for the tuition and everything, and he doesn't call his father to say thank you for the check. The father sends him a check for September. The kid is not calling and say thank you, father, for the check. The father sends him a check. The father is getting angry, getting upset. He says, okay, let me send him a check for October. The child takes the check for October, cashes the check, and he doesn't call his dad to say thank you for the check. Dad is really becoming angry. So daddy sends him the check for the November. The child cashes the check for November and doesn't call his daddy. This is exactly what happens when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends us his provisions and we don't hold back to say thank you. Calling back is the 5 times daily prayer where we call back Allah to say thank you for the check. Now, imagine that the father calls his child on November and say, I have been sending you checks and every month for your expenses and you're not calling me to say thank you, father. Imagine that the son will reply and say, yes, my father, but I don't see you giving me the check. I see the male person giving me the check. So I kiss his hand and I thank him so much for the check. That's what I see. Who is giving me the check? The male person. So your father is angry, and then you say, the father is angry, and he's saying, this is my money. I am the one who's sending you the check, but the male person is just the natural cause, the physical means through which I'm sending. But he's not the one who's actually the one, he's not the one to be thanked. I am the one to thank. Even though you don't see me handing you the check directly, I'm sending it to you through the male person. So the male person is just a physical means, which I'm saying. Allah uses the laws of nature to send us risk provisions. He doesn't hand it to us. Okay? Allah sends it through laws of nature, through business, through farming, through gifting, through any of his of these natural causes or natural reasons or natural laws of nature. Laws of nature that govern how to earn risk from certain source. So this is why we call Allah 5 times a day to thank him for the risk. And the phone number we call Allah is 244. Two rak'ahs for Fajr, 4 rak'ahs for Dhuhr, 4 rak'ahs for Asr, 3 rak'ahs for Maghrib, 4 rak'ahs for Isha. So 2, 4, 4, 3, 4. Okay, and this is the this is how we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by calling him, meaning praying to him, and saying, thanking him for the check. Just imagine another scenario that with the father child and says, you, I send you the check every month. After, imagine the child says, who are you? I don't have a father. The father gets upset and says, you don't have a father? Where did you come from then? He said, I was a monkey. And after a while, I evolved it. So that basically relates to the theory of evolution there, that people are doing that. are saying, are not only not calling Allah to thank him, but also saying, there is no Allah, there is no Father. We were monkeys and we evolved to become human. We evolved from lower species. And that is exactly like the child could say to his father, I don't know you, I don't have a father, I was a monkey and I grew up, I evolved to be a human. So, and that's the bad part of the theory of evolution. The theory of the Muslims have no problem confirming the broad principles of Muslims. This particular part conflicts with the theory of evolution. This is the conflict between Islam and theory of evolution only in this part, which is that Adam and Eve were created miraculously by Allah. They did not evolve from lower species. Other than that, things are, Islam is open. And Islam has problems as long as it is away from Adam and Eve, creation of Adam and Eve miraculously by Allah. What are the things that these risk? Cutting relationship with relatives, kinship, staying at night and waking up late. Staying up late at night and waking up. Adultery, fornication. Ignoring Allah, basically. You live your life as though there is no Allah. He didn't send the prophet. He didn't send the messenger. He didn't send you guidance. Just completely ignore Allah. Completely ignore Allah. And they ignore Quran. That's something that doing lots of bad, lying, dishonesty also decreases the riba, which is like it decreases the baraka. They get more benefits for the same amount of money, benefits for the same amount of time. And finally, is not zakah or charity, not paying zakah and charity. And as the as we all know, that a stingy person lives in this life the life of a poor person, but in the day of judgment, the judgment of the rich person would be audited as a rich person in the day of judgment. And we end here.